Road Show, episode number 453. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here at home in Las Vegas, Nevada, the sprawling, gorgeous, beautiful Casa de Cole Coffee, playing
hey,
host.
John.
Oh, he's coming this way right now. Good to be here, man. Good to be back with you. Not you know, joining together on Skype or, well, we don't use Skype.
But you know, I get what you're saying.
The video conference thing or whatever. That's like the Kleenex Q-tip thing, right?
Like Zoom, what Zoom was.
Exactly. So it's not that. It's not remote. It's not rolling solo. It's right here at the Casa
de
Cole Coffee.
You're actually here in Vegas. You're not on the road gallivanting in some other sport, you know. I was
some
waiting.
Other sport?
You know, some other,
oh, wow.
You
mean,
know.
The college wrestling has been taken. College wrestling,
that is another sport.
Though.
If it you is, didn't, you know, yeah, that is another sport.
That is another sport. But otherwise, it's pretty much just MMA. just MMA.
For now.
For now. We have submission grappling at the end of the month.
That's another sport.
We got Muay Thai coming, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to tease. We're going to launch Muay Thai next year, so that'll be fun. I guess maybe there are some others. They're all combat sports, though, right?
They are. Okay. The Combat Road Show. I said Road
Show
because of Brazil.
Because I'm going to Brazil next week, so you're already getting in the mood. I like it. I'm going to Fortaleza, Brazil.
Is it Fortaleza?
Fortaleza, Brazil.
Fortaleza gets hot in their summer, man.
So it's funny. Fortaleza, Brazil, and it is. It's summer right
is
now,
it,
right?
Yeah, it is summer.
It's the start of summer. So it's funny.
Well, at least it's the start.
It's the start. So I'm going. I think it's going to be in the 90s. It's not going to be like crazy. But it is. So next week I'll be working on the call at Brave CF78. So if you get a chance to check out Brave next week, I actually just started putting my notes together for the card, man. It's actually a good card with some talent from down there. So yeah, I'll be down there. But I'm excited because it's trip number 30 to me for Brazil. I did 29 consecutive UFC events in Brazil, starting with the, what was that, 2012 when they made the return back down there. Starting with that one, did 29 in a row. And then obviously, you know, the travel budget started changing and we started dialing it back a little bit at MMA Junkie. And so they weren't sending me anymore. We did obviously have Fernanda Praches down there as well. So she was able to cover a lot of the events for a lot less money.
Fernanda.
But I ended at 29 events. 29. And it always felt like a weird number to end on. So,
man, what was it? What's weird? Yeah, what?
I don't know.
People, why don't they just go to 30? You know,
exactly,
they could be
right?
Undefeated and they have things. Why don't they just go one more?
I see what you're saying.
Just one more.
Come on back, Khabib. I see what you're
doing. Just make an even number. Just an even number, dog. Come on.
You can't. Now I don't want to go anymore. Now I want to finish at 29-0 like Khabib. But no, I'll be down there for that. But Fortaleza, Brazil was also the birthplace of the khaki shorts revolution. I used to be like you. I would always wear like a polo shirt and jeans to events. And then I was in Fortaleza, Brazil. It was summertime. It was hot as hell. The arena, which is not the same arena, I don't believe that we're using at Brave, but it had no air conditioning, and it was super hot. And because of the time the day started, production, like, it's kind of open air, like they would have like these little slots or whatever, so air would kind of breeze through or whatever. But they put curtains over all that in order to keep the light out. You know what I mean? Because it started during the day and ended at night. So production would seal those up so that the set had the same lighting the whole time, right? Which does make sense.
Makes sense.
But from an airflow perspective, it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. And so that was the first event that I wore khaki shorts. And then I realized once I got to press row, I'm like, wait a minute. My legs are covered all night. Like, I'm sitting underneath a table with, you know, cloth on it. Like, nobody even knows that I'm wearing these. And thus, the birth of the khaki shorts is born. So that's where we're going back to Fortaleza to pay homage to the birth of khaki shorts.
That's crazy. Well, that's a great origin story. I think I was at that event, but I think I was still UFC at that time. I think I was there, though, because I remember being really super crazy sweaty for that particular one.
Because
I think that was one of the ones where they're having issues with, like, the air conditioning out in the vehicles and other kind of stuff.
Oh,
where, like,
it was
they're
so
overheating
hot
that
it was overheating?
Stuff. Yeah. I guess I didn't really think that was, like, that there was a start. I just always
just thought
they were there. Like, you came straight out your mom wearing cargo shorts, khakis. And she's like, they're like, it's stuck on a pocket. He's not coming. It's stuck on the pocket.
It's funny. It's like there was a start. You know, just like there was a start of a blue shirt somewhere, there was a start there. So
that's funny.
Anyway, so yes, that is next week. That travel will be going on. And then the CFSC schedule will get busy, busy, busy for the rest of the year, because after that, it's crazy. So we're doing December 15th in Atlantic City for MMA, which is going to be a phenomenal card, absolutely loaded. And then we've got December 19th and December 21st are a pair of CFSC match day events. So we've got college wrestling, and then we will end the year with Fury Professional Grappling on December 30th at 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. And they're putting the card, they're finalizing all the card and stuff for it now. They're actually having some meetings right now. I can't wait because there's some fun matchups on there that they're talking about. So hopefully we get everybody signed, because this is the big year-end event, right, where we get to bring in some of the USC talent and have some of the USC crew on there. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. So pay attention to announcements. I think tickets might be on sale already. So if you're thinking about it, I would say secure your tickets ASAP for the Fury Pro Grappling, because 2300 Arena is not big. So if you're going to be in the area and you got a chance, get it, because there's going to be some pretty cool names on the card if everything that comes together like I think it will be will come together. So that's all the travel that's coming up. So
very cool.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know how many times we'll be together the rest of this year. It's kind of what I'm saying right now.
I can't believe you're going to miss the Shang Pai show or the Shang Pi. And also you're going to miss the Fight Pass Invitational. No, you normally dig that shit.
I know. I do. I'm going to be out of town for that. So I'm going to have to watch. I'm flying back. Let's see. No, wait. Because they moved it, right? So
it's Friday.
The 10th.
No, it's the 9th.
No, it got moved because the Shang Pi, is that right?
The Shang Pi is on the day after.
Is the 9th, Saturday the 9th. So I might be able to make the Fight Pass Invitational.
But I thought it was the day before. I thought it was Friday.
They moved it to the 10th. They moved it to the 10th, right? Am I crazy in that?
I don't know. There's still a lot of their – let me pull up on their schedule. I swear it. But it did come up because I reached out to Mason Fowler. I was like, hey, have you got a new opponent yet? I was like, I just reached out on Instagram. I was like, hey, I know you get
–
Brian's
you.
Gone. I was like, you got a new opponent. And he said that they're still working on it. He said there's hoping to have an announcement in the next day or so, but he doesn't think he's going to be the main event anymore.
Yeah, it's Sunday. It's Sunday, December 10th, so I'll be back for that. So are you going
to
go?
Interesting. Why would they have tried to put that on the same day?
Well, because originally it was in Shanghai. Right, so they were going to use the Apex.
You think they would still do it on Friday, so it wouldn't
cross. No, it was originally Saturday the 9th.
Right.
Because the show was going to be in Shanghai, so that would air early morning here. And
I
then
guess
they
that makes
used
sense.
The Apex at night. And so when that show got moved, then they moved it to the 10th.
Interesting.
So, I'll be back for that. It's actually funny.
I need to update their artwork because they still have all that old ass artwork
says the 9th.
Everywhere. And it's still got Gordon Ryan's face
still
all over
Gordon
the
Ryan
show.
On it. Wow.
I think it would help once they know who. What the lamb's going to be, but regardless. So I guess
at the Fight Pass Invitational. I'll tell you what's funny. On the way
now,
back,
if it's on Sunday now I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was Friday. I thought it was the day before.
I don't do Sundays.
I'm like, Sunday's right. The one day off I have.
I'll probably
we'll see. I'll probably go because it is. They are fun. They are fun events.
They are fun.
And it's just so different. It's unique to see the Apex just so set up differently.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so open. It's just – it's cool. It's just like literally that – just like the flat stage. And at any moment, you feel like the grapplers could go off the side.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's kind of interesting to watch it. But, yeah, it's good. But it's just so crazy high level. But it's unique, you know, especially when they do the different sort of scoring and rounds and say if they're using the Eddie Bravo overtime.
Right.
You start seeing the gamesmanship happening during the bouts and stuff. And it's just – it's unique. It's unique.
It's so interesting, right, because I really do like – the Eddie Bravo Invitational overtime rules. Like, I like that back and forth escape system.
Yeah.
But what I see, though, is that a lot of people are playing for that. Like, Nicky Rod, for instance, he knows he's so good there, right?
Yeah.
That he just stalls out.
It feels
for
like
the match.
They're all doing that.
Yeah.
It feels like they're all starting to go that way.
I think that's something they got to figure out there. Like, how do you encourage? So that's one reason we, like, so for Fury Grappling, we just do a judge's decision, right? Because that's one of the concerns is we don't want people playing for overtime.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, judge's decision, so don't stall, because if you stall, like, you're not going to win the match.
I mean, the overtimes are good.
But the overtimes
like,
are exciting.
It's exciting.
It's just that they play for the overtime, and that kind of ruins the –
because it makes it long. It makes it longer. You know, you'd want the event, the match to be done. But when you get to that part, it's kind of exciting. It's like, why couldn't the first part be like that?
Know.
You know, it's almost like, hey, if you're just going for that, just doing overtime rules main, you know, event, you know, just make it that. Just make it the overtime rules and just skip the chase. But it should be fun.
I think I'll be there. I'll probably take my kid and let him see some high level grappling. I always like to see that.
Old GSP's on the commentary.
GSP's
for that.
On commentary. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
And I love how tiny the letters are that say he's on commentary in the artwork.
But his face is so big. He's as big as I was like, I was like, I remember he said he wanted to compete again. I was like, is he competing? I was like,
originally he was supposed to compete, but he got injured. So look, I don't blame
him.
Right?
We still got the artwork.
They got his face big on there and then real tiny underneath. It's like, on commentary.
That was supposed to be his opponent's name. It was just going to be George St. Pierre.
We got George St. Pierre.
This other
on
guy.
Commentary. It's so funny. I don't blame him. Oh, but listen, I was gonna tell you this is funny. You will get doing this. But anyway, my flight back from Brazil, because I was trying to keep the cost down. Obviously, I'm working with Brave for the first time. I'm a responsible guy.
You didn't give him first class.
I'm a responsible guy. I did say no. I didn't hit him with the first class. But I'm a responsible guy for companies that I work for. And I did say, look, it's got to be American Airlines. Like, I'm sorry, it has to be American Airlines. And they're like, that's cool. No problem. And then. The cheapest flight I could find back actually has a 13-hour layover.
Oh, geez.
But it's in Dallas, so I'm going to go see my family.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, what class seats did you get them?
Just standard, main cabin extra, and then I can upgrade.
Extra? That's
But because of my status, I get main cabin extra for free. That's respectable. So, I land at like
normal.
Like 6:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, So I think my mom's going to come pick me up from the airport and go see my mom, dad, and all that.
Aww.
So use the layover as an opportunity to see the family. So
that's very cool.
I thought you would appreciate that.
No, that's
you
great.
Know what I mean?
Get you some barbecue.
Oh, you know.
You can sleep good on the flight back if you're all coming with a nice little belly full of barbecue.
Yeah, bro.
I'd sleep like a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's a shortish flight, but still. That's cool. That's very good.
So I'm excited about that. And then now I know that the Fight Pass Invitational is the next day, so I got that. So a lot, man. Schedule's getting crazy, bro. It's getting crazy. I love it. All right, listen. We got a lot of MMA.
It's funny you say that because young Nolan is coming out for UFC 296.
Oh,
he's going to be out here. So
very cool.
Awesome. And it's funny because, he hit me up today. And he's like, hey, there's this karate, combat thing that's happening later on Friday. You know, it's supposed to be – gosh, who was it?
It's Anthony Pettis and Benson Henderson,
Pettis
right?
Pettis and Henderson. Are you going to be up for it? Do you maybe want to go? They just kind of want some people. I was like, bro, after weigh-ins in the morning, the ceremonial weigh-ins in the evening, I was like, that's normally when Kenny go get dinner and then drinks. I was like, but you want me to do it just a 12-hour day just to do it?
I will say, so that karate combat event, I won't be here for that because I will be doing
CFSC. Is it actually karate combat?
Yes.
Because karate combats are fun. I remember we've had good times there.
You remember how the last time we went to a karate combat, we were hammered? Well, they are also doing open bar at this one as well.
That's kind of what – He's like, we just want you to come, have some beers, talk to fighters if you want. If you don't, just don't.
That would be the event, I believe, where our Hot T did an interview with a microphone that was not plugged in.
He was fucked up. That was an interesting
event. It was in L.A., if I remember, right? Yeah. Like a nice theater in L.A.
Do they have a red carpet for that, too, or something? I remember they had something
I think
outside.
So, but I don't think we got there in time, maybe, or something, because we had to come from somewhere else.
Where's this open bar? Because we had some work to do, and I remember we wanted to get upstairs and do work, but then I remember it was open bar, and I remember it was just downhill
from there.
Work's
not getting done as much.
That was a crazy – but I remember that was a fun. That was a fun event.
So maybe leave your schedule open.
Well, now that I know it's karate combat, not just a karate
organization. No, it's karate combat.
Were fun.
I'm actually really interested to see it.
Getting too old for this 14-hour shit just to do it.
I know.
Like,
well, yeah, you're right. Because when we were younger, we did
another
it. Because
long day the next day.
I just want to do it. I just want to go say I did it. And now you got to weigh it out. You got to weigh out your options a little bit more.
I can go get a nice dinner.
I'm kind of actually anxious to see because I was looking for where the venue was. I don't even know what that building's called, the World Trade – it's not the World Trade Center or whatever, but it's right –
by the North Outlet Mall?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting.
It's in that – and apparently there's a theater or something in there. So might be worth going to check out just to see there's a venue in there that we've never – I didn't even know it existed, to be honest with you.
Interesting, yeah. I knew that building had different sort of setups and different little stuff. But, yeah, no, I've never seen a performance in there before.
I'd have been there. I'll be doing CFSC in Atlantic City that weekend, and then I'll –
interesting.
And then I'm going to fly back on Saturday morning. And I make it in time to make it to the fight. So I will not be – I guess we'll just throw it out there now. I will not be at the press conference with Colby Covington. Which that press conference, by the way, is starting to line up like it's going to be some fireworks. And, you got Tony Ferguson up there, and now all this Ian Garry stuff is going on. But I will not be there for that because I have to fly out the day before. So
man, that should be nuts.
It's going to be a nutty one. So I'm just throwing it all out there for anybody that can't wait to see if he tells me to do push-ups again. I wouldn't have asked.
Bro, we can start
anyway.
Drilling the push-ups in the garage.
Bro.
Or if he does it, I'll do your 10. I got your 10. I'll spot your 10.
No. No, you don't do something. Because another man does not come on and walk up to you and be like, drop down and give me 10 right now. Like, who the fuck are you? No.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So anyway.
That's some cuck shit.
Awesome. All right. Listen.
I'm just going to let that slide. I threw that out because of the whole Ian Gary stuff that you brought up earlier.
Oh, but I don't get into that.
I know. That's some bullshit.
People getting
that's
involved in
shit.
This business. All right. Listen. A couple things real quick. I wanted to just maybe not even really talk about MMA and just spend the entire episode talking about your phone and this AI call screening.
I was like, what?
I think this is the greatest.
You need to get into the little phone.
I think this is the greatest use of AI.
Earlier today or something. So, all right. So the you'll see advertisements for the Google Pixel 8. So I got the Google Pixel 8, and I think it's in both models. There was a plus model and like the whatever. I think I got that plus, but I think it's in either one. But regardless, you can set up the call screening. So if it say if an unknown number comes in or a number that doesn't think is a real number, it actually, if you have it enabled, it will have like this avatar, this AI answer it and sort of runs them through like, you know, kind of along the lines of like, hey, I'm an assistant for so-and-so. They're not able to come to the phone right now, but what is this call about? Or something along those lines. Because remember, I think I called it once and it hit off and I was like, what is going on? And then it sort of runs them through prompts and where if you, it kind of asks you if it's like this is this, like push a button to continue or whatever. Most people either hang up if it's like a spammer or if it's like an automated system. It just shuts it down. It doesn't actually let it go. So it actually screens the call. I have yet to have anybody reach out to me and say, hey, your AI shit like didn't let my phone go through, because most people have like caller ID on their phone unless they're doing some shady shit like who blocks it or who these days does private anymore. I remember people did that like a lot when it first started. That was weird as hell.
It's like, weird, and now like I'm not gonna answer
who's gonna answer it.
If my phone rings and it says like unidentified or private, whatever, like I'm not answering.
You have zero chance of making it through.
Period.
So this just sort of acts as like that buffer for the ones that come up as a number but don't have anything. So a lot of the ones. So if they try to send a text, a lot of times it'll just send it to spam, possible spam or block or whatever. But if it tries to be an automated call, it tries to run it through like this little screening process. And then you could skip it if you're like, oh, I recognize that number. I get it why it's trying to like do it. And you could just say bypass or let it through or whatever. I forget the phrasing. And it'll let it ring right to your phone. Or you just let the fucking AI just like do its thing.
I like it.
It is the greatest thing ever.
You told me about this the other day. I'm like, I like that. Apple.
Step your game up.
Apple, I need this. All right, I need this because the number. I mean, and obviously, like, I just don't answer them, but like the number of calls that you get. I feel like it's gotten a little bit better than it has.
And it's from no fault that anything that anybody does. Your number, you register your number one thing, then somebody sells your number, then your number gets leaked somewhere, or somebody scrapes a website
and
or
dude,
whatever.
I've had the same phone number for 20 years, and I don't want to change it because there's so many contacts, especially with what we do for a living, and kind of like people want to get hold of you and stuff. Like, I don't want to change my number.
I don't ever want to get rid of my 614 number. Yep. I've had it since forever.
I still got a Dallas number.
And I'm
number.
Just like, no, like, don't make me get rid of this number. I'm like, I'd rather let technology or let these bullshit calls, and then I still go through. I'm like, spam. But now that the phone actually does it, I haven't even – it's funny because I see these commercials all the time talking about the look what it does with the pictures, look what it does with the audio. I'm like, I haven't even used that feature, I'm raving about this AI call answering, call screening thing. It is the greatest thing ever.
I love it.
Yeah.
I just want to share that with the world because I don't know if the world knew that was out there, but I'm impressed by it.
I mean, it's AI. It's now it's crazy because, I mean, like, it's, you know, not that we're going to turn this into the AI show, but it's like it's gotten so much involved with everything now. I mean, when it comes to the editing applications, your Photoshop applications, it's funny, Getty, which is one of the places where say you want to submit your video, your pictures to it. Now, I think a lot of people were worried that people are going to be submitting AI invented works,
right?
You know, and then like, you know, then it starts, you know, it opens up a whole bag of worms.
There's some ethical concerns about that.
Now, even Getty is even offering to where now you can use AI to alter some of the image or something. So it's like even on their end, they're embracing it and stuff. So it's getting to be a part of everything out there. I think there are some issues and stuff we still need to make sure, you know, going forward, the access and the things that we're giving it to. But in something like this, you know, maybe this is the foothold to crazy shit down the line. But right now, I love this access. I love the fact that I'm saying, hey, algorithm, computer, life form, answer my phone for me first. Tell me if this person is like yourself, not human, or pass it on, like scream. And I think the voice was pretty pleasant too. So it's like they even do a decent enough like rendition of like a human voice, you know, trying to go. If I could alter it, I'll tell it to like pick some hot like Australian chick to answer my phone or something. But it doesn't give me that option. But
it's, you know, it's funny. You talk about all the AI technology stuff. Like I know that I ended up on some mailing list somehow or whatever. But for the past probably a year or so, they've been marketing like, hey, use AI to translate your podcast into other languages so you can distribute it to other languages. And like, I mean, again, now you do start getting into some weird things with ethics and obviously how do you quality control that? Did it actually translate into what you said? But that's a pretty damn cool thing, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be able to take your work and distribute it to people that don't speak your language is pretty damn cool.
That is a great use, because then it's like, especially if you're saying, don't alter my work, just translate the work for me. Because we're starting to see now a lot of organizations, speaking of your past, just recently organizations, Sports Illustrated caught a lot of flack for actually having AI writers, and then went so far as to create fake profiles for them. People caught on. People figured out, like, yo, these are like AI. You can't even call it a ghostwriter, because a ghostwriter is actually a real writer using an alias, right?
Yeah, it's interesting, right, because you know, it apparently, and again, I haven't seen all the details on it, but you're right. I mean, I was just working with them. It was a third-party partnership that was doing it, right? So it wasn't actually Sports Illustrated proper or whatever, but the content was, you know, on their sites, because they had the Arena Group and all these different sites, which is what part of what Mixed Martial Arts was gone, which, by the way, actually just sold, as we talked about before. But anyway, it is wild, right? Because why – like, I get it. Like, you're using AI to help generate content. And by the way, lots of places are starting to do this. So be on 100%. The lookout for it. But then to go so far as to create a fake account of a fake person, that's where it starts getting like, come on, man. What are you trying to
like,
do
here? Like, you're trying to cover your tracks. You know somebody's going to be like, okay, we're putting this out there, but we can't just say staff, or we can't just say AI generated, because then people might give a shit about it. But it's like, then on the flip side, you're – now trying to cover it up and actually make it seem like there's a real person, which to me seems like...
That seems shady to me.
It seems even shadier. Yeah. Like just admit that it's auto-generated.
Auto-generated content in itself is weird, but I mean, as you see, like some of this AI stuff is pretty good. Like you see the content, you're like, damn,
it's getting better and better, because some of the initial stuff I think we saw was rough.
Right.
It was rough. There was weird phrasing and some stuff that just like, you're like, I wonder what they're trying to mean this. Like. Yeah. Like when you read the sentence, like that's a real sentence, but it's like it doesn't.
Nobody would
say it that way, you know. But it's like, oh, an AI would.
But now it's learning.
But now it's getting better and better, you know. So, and it's crazy. I want to say USA Today or somebody, one of the things, dabbled with something. I thought at one point, and then we were like, "Yo, stop," or whatever. So
people are gonna mess with it, because, bro, the media business, like, obviously, I mean, you know. I mean, the margins are tiny, and they're getting smaller, and the budgets are slimming.
If you don't have to have a writer, and then all of a sudden you're cranking out 13 extra stories that day.
Why not?
That bottom line starts looking a little bit better, you know. So yeah, I mean, it's you know, like, I mean,
so AI, let them answer your phone. Don't let them be fake.
Don't
journalists.
Don't let them do your work.
Okay, that's what we need to do. don't create fake people with them.
Yes.
But let them answer your
help
phone
me with
for
the pictures. Help me with some cool Photoshop
I was,
shit.
You know, I'm not a big Photoshop guy, but like that
amazing.
Generative fill stuff, and I mean, it's
ridiculous,
it's
dude.
Insane.
I mean, shit that would take hours before that. I remember I was like, okay, I'd learn and I'd study and I'd study and I'd practice. I'm like, okay, I got this skill down. I know how to do this. There's probably four different ways to do something. I'm like, I was proud. I was like, oh, I figured out one way that worked for me. Now it's like, okay, just draw a line around it. Right in there and say, hey, erase this, add this, and whoa, there it is. And you're like, oh, shit.
It's
there
insane,
goes 10 years of my life that was just like,
it's
wow.
Insane how much it's still like automated
unreal.
Stuff. I did want to give a shout out, by the way, for you as well. Poor one out for Ohio State. I was I watched that game. I was in the airport, actually, and watched the game, and I just wanted to pour one out for you, man. They fought valiantly. It was a heck of a game.
Let me use my little – this is from the Alumni Association because I donated. This is some large wrapping paper it gave me from the Buckeyes. Let me just cover my face up real quick and just ship myself away. It was tough. It was.
Did you go out and watch it, or did you watch it?
No, I watched it here.
Watch them.
And it's that's the time of year where I have, like, people I've known, like, most of my life from Ohio that some went to the dark side and rooted for Michigan, who knows, for whatever reason. I have my ideas why they all did. I think the Fab Five was a big reason why a lot of people went over to Michigan. It was a huge iconic
moment. Oh, bro,
we
were kids, the Michigan starter jackets. Oh, God, everybody,
it was ridiculous. So, but yeah, it's the time of year I'll see people I've known forever where I'm just like, I want to stab you in your neck. Because they're like, Michigan, they're like, yeah, Buckeyes, 3 year. And I'm like, I'm just fuming. I'm fuming. So, yeah. I'm glad it was a non-UFC week because I know there would have been some people in the media room that I probably would have choked. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm not there because I know they're still going to bring it up when I see him. But, yeah, it was a sad moment.
I was at the Admirals Club at Washington, D.C. because it –
It was a great game.
It was a good game. We took an evening flight home from Washington, D.C. so that we didn't have to, like, get up super early, you know. Yeah. But I had to check out of the hotel. And so we went to the Admirals Club and just kind of hung out there. And so I watched the entire game for the Admirals Club, and then we boarded.
Telling you, that's why. I mean, I love college sports. I love college football, but I love that rivalry. I mean, when it goes back, it's over 100 years.
It's crazy, right?
We've been doing it for 100 years.
It's
amazing. That's why they call it the granddaddy of all rivalries. I mean, it's unreal. But yeah, it's been going on for so long. But yeah, it is deeply rooted in my bones. That's why it's so funny when I'm out and about and I see somebody wearing something Michigan, I just get that like that something in my stomach. It's funny, like don't put that on your fucking dating profile, because bitch, I'm gonna swipe left on that one. It's gone. Just don't even talk to me.
Can't even look like it. Chick is hot. No.
Oh, she could be hot as hell. I'm like, oh, she's psycho. She's deep down, she's psycho.
I love it. But all right, listen, we got a lot to talk about what's coming up this weekend. I did want to just recap briefly, since I did not do an and a half episode following the PFL World Championship. You know, obviously it was a good week in Washington, D.C. Just being out there was cool. I'd never been out there before. My wife and kid enjoyed it. They got to go around and see all the sights and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's very unique to see. I mean, if you've never been to, like, D.C., it's definitely one of those spots where it's like you feel like you have to go. I mean,
yeah.
Like, you can only go to – I mean, well, never been to Disneyland, but I was going to say, you can only go to Disneyland so many times before you got to take your kids to some place that matters to the country.
Yep.
Like, take your kids to D.C.
What I was saying. I was telling my kid, you know, as he starts, you know, when he's doing these history lessons and stuff, at least you've seen it and you know what
they're talking about.
That's the
best part.
Let it
resonate.
I did see
that they went to the Smithsonian, because I was asking if they went to the Smithsonian, and I saw D posted that they had went to the Smithsonian, so that's good. Like,
super
it's legit.
Cool.
I mean, like, those museums and those places out there are just fantastic,
and it's all free, which is super
been paying for them forever.
It's our tax dollars. You're right, but at least they don't
pay for it.
At least that's a good point. At least they don't ask you again to reach into your pocket.
Double taxation. You're not allowed to double taxation.
That's great. I didn't think about it that way. It is. It's your tax dollars. You have paid for it. You've been paying for it for your whole life. So might as well go enjoy. So there.
Please go enjoy
reason.
It.
Go enjoy it. You've been paying for it since the time you started working. Since the time I started as an usher. I didn't even start as an usher. My first job was at a movie theater, just cleaning up the theater.
Oh.
And then I made it to usher. And then
then you were the popcorn guy that was doing the funny stuff in the popcorn.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So from the time I was 16 years old, and then that's when I went to be a busboy. And then my first job was a busboy in the restaurant business.
Big path. A lot of people started in busboy restaurants.
Started as a busboy.
It's got to be the biggest. Way in on dishwasher and a busboy.
Dishwasher was the first job I had in the back of the house. I wanted to go in the kitchen because I wasn't old enough to wait tables yet, but I didn't really love busing. And the host was all like, you know, they basically just had like all girls, and so I didn't want to go do that, which was dumb. Now in retrospect, I should have wanted to go do that and just hang out with the girls all day long. But I was like, I want to go work in the kitchen. They're like, well,
you got to have experience.
This is where
unless
we start.
Unless you know somebody in the kitchen, you don't start without experience in the kitchen.
Start as a dishwasher, and
then
from there you learn how to prep a little
bit. Bring you over to the prep table.
Yep.
Maybe tease you on the expo. We're in the weeds. Here, come help me out a little bit. Put the garlic bread on here. Do this.
You know it. So I've been paying for it, so I'm glad I went to experience. But PFL, I guess, I don't know, did you end up watching the fights?
I did.
Good. Look, I'll say this. The atmosphere, they picked good venues, man. The theater at Madison Square Garden was cool last year. This theater that they found, it's called the Anthem. It was like a concert venue in Washington, D.C. It's right on the water. There's some bars and restaurants around there. But it's a cool venue, and they set it up cool. Like, it's got like a party vibe. I think they got, I think they got all their sponsors in there, and there's a bunch of VIP areas.
That's
and
Celsius,
plenty of Celsius.
Post-fight thing. Here, what do you think about this with your Celsius post fight? Let me hand you this can. I was like, how awkward can you make it? Like, just stop.
It's a little
just
bit.
Put a graphic.
Put a graphic or something. Yeah, it's a little bit weird. You know, they do the same thing in the UFC, like when they have like the empty monster.
But
you know what I mean?
That'll make a deal. Like, here, let me work this into my phrase.
The ones that crack me up are the ones that like take a fake sip out of the empty can of Monster. Like,
what's funny is that it's usually the teammate half the time that gives them the thing because teammate knows. It's probably like they're like, that's their job. It's like, hey. Remind me this.
Which
give
is
this
an important
can.
Job because you make sure you get my paycheck.
Like, say Joe Rogan or somebody's going to go in there. You think Joe Rogan's be like, yeah, bro, I'm not going to hand him the Monster can. Like, no.
You think Joe might push back a little more than Dan Hardy did? Can you imagine? Like, do you think he would even verbally respond?
I think he'd just laugh in their face. I think he would just literally laugh and walk away. I'm like,
Here's what we're thinking, man. Can you carry this in and hand it in?
We're thinking. I'll be right back.
He wouldn't even give him a response, dude. Like I said, he'd just laugh and walk off. Man. That'd be great.
But, it was good. It was good.
I will say, you know, the atmosphere was great. I enjoyed it.
I like their live shows. I like their – I mean, it always feels a little bit more quaint and a little more – maybe less of a big, crazy venue feel like you get from, like, the UFC ones.
Yep.
But they do a really good job of – occupying the space that they're in very well.
That's it, right?
Lots
they
of good lights, the sounds
and
stuff.
Well,
yeah.
They make it feel. It's a good
bells
vibe
and
in
whistles.
There.
It feels more like a concert performance sometimes with some of the lighting, the way the moving lights and the stuff that actually plays to the fans. Whereas like the UFC, when the lights and stuff, it's all about lighting the fighting area. Whereas when you go to some of the PFLs, the lights are moving around the room. They're kind of doing it where it feels like it's more wild environment where it's it feels to me like more of like a theatrical or a concert performance.
I did notice one thing that I thought was weird is that, and I think I've noticed this before with their live events, because I don't go to a ton of their cards, but I go to some, is that all the stats, you know, you have all those stats on the TV.
Yeah.
They're not anywhere in the arena. And so I thought that's weird because it's such a big, the smart cage.
AI scoring or whatever.
AI scoring that they have. By the way, AI scoring, fine. Answering your phone, fine. Still not okay to be a fake AI journalist. But AI scoring works too. But
how do we know now that the real judges are doing it? If they got the AI scoring, I mean, like.
Maybe that's the answer, man. But, yeah, they don't feature anywhere. And somebody from PFL told me that the commission asked them not to have that because I guess they didn't want the judges to have access to it, which I guess. But, like, to me it seems like. So I didn't follow up with the commission to find out that's true, but that's what they – That's what they
Makes
said. They,
sense.
That's I mean, what they said. They think. They said. I think the commission asked us.
They
not
don't want
to.
Them to be swayed by the
right.
real numbers.
But what?
You think you'd want them to be able to double check the what
exactly,
they're seeing out
right?
there,
right? Like I would say, give the judges as much information as you can. Now, then there becomes a thing like, what if the information is incorrect? You know what I mean? Because live scoring of strikes and stuff like that is hard. And so I have heard people say like, yeah, but if that number is not accurate and the judge is looking at a number that's not necessarily accurate, well, now you might potentially skew them to something that isn't what they were thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe if you just weighed it proportionally and say, hey, guys, I know you're used to not having this. This is just a reference. Don't base it solely on the numbers you're going to see here. But if this helps you as a reference, if you have questions about a certain aspect of that element, like if you're in your head and you're like, oh my gosh, it could be 10-9 either way, like I just need one little bit of information. There's a part where they're on the other side, I didn't see that the four strikes that he threw or the four whatever or something, or I definitely lean in the side of, you know, if more information is good, just do it with the understanding, like, don't, like you said, there could be a mistake, there could be whatever.
Yeah. If you need confirmation of your thoughts, you know what I mean? Like, don't let that be your sole guiding thing, is that, you know, I watched the whole action unfold, and I think the red corner won, but the stats show that blue had more strikes, so I got to go blue now. Like, no. Like, but to use it as like, I'm pretty sure it's red, and then you look down and you're like, oh, and red had more strikes. So, yeah.
Because it's like, if not, it's like a gut call. They're like, I really feel this. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to like their head. They have a running sort of tally in their head. Like, I think they're going to feel pretty strongly one particular way, you know, by the end, because that's how it's always been. And I think if anything else, they can look at the numbers like, yeah, okay, yeah, this confirms what I'm feeling. But again, if they're like, man, I'm just not sure, if it gives them another access to make sure that the right person gets the call, the right person should
give
get the
as
call.
As much information as possible, right? I agree. So I thought that was interesting. But other than that, you know, listen, and I love that Don Davis came back and immediately, like, without even being asked, you know, he starts giving an open statement. Is like, would we have liked more finishes? Yes, we would have liked more finishes. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
He's been on a whirlwind lately.
He's
coming
on
out
fire
like strong
right now.
Lately.
He's on fire.
I feel like
right
the
now.
Dude. You didn't even see the dude for like years,
it's true.
And then all of a sudden it's like You see him like everywhere now.
Him and I have talked about maybe doing like a podcast together. Like, that might be fun. I like the guy, man. He's a
character.
But you know, so I like the fact that he said that, you know, hey, we want more finishes, because there were moments in the night that just felt and there's nothing they can do about it, right? Like,
fighting.
It's fighting, and you all you can do is put the two fighters in there, and what happens in the cage, you can't control. But it's, you know, when you have the possibility of that many five-round fights, it's going to drag a little bit. But I don't think you can blame it on them. I do, and I know Don said that he's not for this right now, but they've always said, hey, we're open to change and we're open to evolving along the way. I do think you should do elbows in the finals, man. Showcase fights in finals. Gosh. I understand why you don't do it during the season, right? You don't want to cut that, you know, needs time to recover from, and they can't turn around in 4 weeks. I get it, but I think you need elbows, man.
That Brunson fight would have been over earlier.
100%.
Like, there were definitely instances where it's like, come on, like – and it's funny because I forgot that
Kayla
that was a thing.
Elbows.
I forgot that that was a thing, and then I'm hearing like, "There, you can't do elbows," because there's points where like they're mounted. I'm just like, "Just drop some bows, dude," and it's done. I was like, "What do you mean they can't elbow?" I was like, "That's just silly."
And you know what's funny? So I was talking to Derek Brunson.
That's like the controversial LFC rule where you can't do any standing head strikes.
I mean, you know, that's what the press says. You know what I mean? So, that's too funny. Great lingerie fighting championship reference there. I love it. it's funny how every now and then somebody finds like a clip of that and be like, is this you? Like,
it sure is.
It sure is, me and cold coffee. but you know what's funny? I was talking to Derek Brunson earlier this week about it. Might've just been yesterday actually. But I was asking him, what do you think? You know, and he had kind of said it, but I wanted to hear him talk about it. And he's like, do elbows and showcase fights, do them in the finals. And he was talking about too, because it's not just, well, if you have elbows, you can get cut and that'll end it faster. He explained it perfectly, which is like, when you're on bottom and you're defending, he's like, it's kind of easy, really, to just grab the wrists and tie them up.
Yeah.
But if you do that, and the fighter that's on top that has his wrist controlled can still elbow, because that's what you can, right? Just because you grab a wrist, you can still roll through it and land shots. You can land forearms and you can land elbows. And so that changes everything, right? So the fighter can't just kind of stall out underneath, and that's what it's really about. So I think sometimes when you hear people say, yeah, there should be elbows, it's like, well, are you saying because you want to see more cuts and you want to see fights ended that way? It's like, no, it's not that. It's that even when you control the wrist, that person can still land strikes at some point. Yeah. So you have to move and turn and advance his position, you know?
I mean, even with the elbows, it's not like if you elbow, it's guaranteed that you're going to cut somebody open. It's just another strong strike. But, I mean, it is one of the hardest bones in the body, so you could do some crazy shit with it. But it's like, it's just another – you're taking one of these weapons away that is just so definitive a lot of these times to finish these fights. And it's just like, come on. And the fact that they even want to do showcase, like, just open it to everybody. The only people that shouldn't be using it, if you're worried about, is the amateurs. Don't allow – if you're going to have amateurs fight on the card, all the pros on there should be able to throw them.
What about the regular season? You're okay with limiting them, right? Or you think use them in the regular season?
Well, if you're doing it in the regular season, then you're just worried because you're going to lose competitor because you're trying to do it.
Right.
But most cuts, depending on how they are, the length of the recovery time, it's probably going to be fine. It's not like you're going to be out 3 or 4 months because of a cut. You might be out 30, 60 days.
Yeah.
But if they're worried because if they say, okay, no contact for 30 days or no contact for whatever, then I can see where somebody's whatever. But, I mean – I guess if you have to have a concession,
and
if that's
really
your main worry.
And they're not really doing the two fights in a night thing anymore, right? So it's like
– no, I don't think so.
No, they didn't this year. So I don't think that's really their plan anymore.
It's just – it's an exciting element of mixed martial arts. I mean, and like the fact that you don't have that. I mean, I get it. I mean, there's a reason they don't have like soccer kicks when the guys are down and doing other crazy stuff. But like elbows, like come on. Like,
yeah.
Just because you hit with an elbow, there's no guarantee that you're going to, you know – cut somebody, and then that's the potential. But I mean, maybe if anything else, then you just rework your season to have that. But most of the fights, it seems like there'd be enough time for them to heal. But who knows? All right, so maybe if there has to be a concession, maybe no preseason, but let the playoffs, let it just start happening. Don't make it just even the championship. Like, let it, when it gets to the finals, have your alternates in case something like that happens. But allow it to happen. I mean, I feel like, especially if you're going to be taking more fighters in that come from organizations that have that history, you're asking a fighter to go against everything that they've sort of ingrained
in
themselves.
Fight differently.
I thought so much in my head, like, How often during that fight did Derek have to tell himself, remember, don't throw an elbow, don't throw an elbow, don't throw an
probably
elbow, like to consciously stay that in your head? Like, then you're up in your head. You want them fighting and flowing and not thinking like, okay, what rule set am I
yeah.
here?
Muscle
what
memory.
Rule set am I
it's,
worried
it's,
about?
It's the reason we always talk about, you know, that the unified rules should be unified everywhere so a fighter doesn't have to think, and,
right.
you know, same thing, right? Like, don't tweak the rules. Like, just
right.
let the rules be the rules. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that evolves, man. I really do. I hope that evolves. So we'll see. Again, I know Don Davis is right now saying he's against it, but they're always talking about, hey, we're willing to change. We're willing to evolve. So I hope they do.
They should poll the fighters. See what the fighters say. The fighters say we want it. Then being the organization that's kind of said that, hey, we're here for the fighters.
Fighters and fans
let
first.
Let the fighters pick.
Fans are saying it. If
yeah.
the fighters are saying it and you're fighters and fans first, there you go.
There
it's a
great
it is. Great idea. Great
yep.
idea. We'll say, you know, and I kind of touched on it last week, but it continued all through the week. A lot of optimism everywhere. I think everybody's excited just that everything's in the open. It's done.
Yeah.
I know the meetings were happening with the Bellator staff this week. So hopefully they'll figure that all out and they'll start making some announcements of who's going over and what, you know, what their roles will be.
Oof, fingers crossed on that.
Yeah, I do too, man. I really hope everybody from Bellator, you know,
that wants to go
gets the opportunity to go. If they decide they don't want to, I get it, because I think there's going to be some people that don't. But, you know, be a damn shame to just lose your job, because there's a lot of capable people that work their ass off for a long time. Because
yep.
that is a small staff, man. They did a lot of work for a very small staff. Not that PFL
yep.
is, like, massive. And
I was
going to
say, PFL is a pretty small staff as well. I mean, you would think that they could use the help.
I think so.
Especially when they're taking on all this extra little stuff. But,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a good staff. I mean, we've worked with that staff for so many years.
Yep.
You know, you kind of want the people that have put so much of their heart and soul in it to have that potential. Because, I mean, the sale was nothing of their doing. It's
right.
not like it's not like through any fault of their own or whatever. You
yeah, because
know?
Their
mean,
poor
like,
performance,
yeah.
that, you know, they had to go away. Like, no, they worked
if
their
they
ass
only
off.
Worked, you know, 26 hours a day, it would have been much better than only working the 24 hours a day that they typically did.
And even not even just, I mean, obviously the people we work closest with would be like the executives and the PR people, but even like the operations teams
yeah.
and stuff like that. Like, I mean,
they're good people,
man. Yep. It was always good to be around. So
a lot of them came, well, I mean, I know there was the guys that definitely had time at the UFC and other big organizations.
Yep.
So it wasn't like it was like scrub dudes, like it's legit operations team. Like, yeah, it's a good staff, man.
I hope
they all get to come over.
I hope it works out, man. We'll see some announcements over the coming weeks for sure. So we'll be looking forward to that and seeing how it all plays out. In the meantime, this week, UFC is in Austin. I did not make the trip down to Texas. I love, obviously, my home state of Texas. I love Austin. It's a fun town. But there was just too much on the calendar. I need at least a week at home before my family just completely disowned me. But interesting, because just before we started to hit record on this and get going, we were just kind of shooting the shit a little bit as buddies talking about the card, and I'm pretty excited about this card, and my buddy Cole Coffey doesn't seem to share
no.
the same enthusiasm
I mean,
with me.
You know, it would have been it's an event I wouldn't have wanted to travel for. I'll appreciate watching it and stuff like that. I mean, there's some good fights on it and stuff. But, you know, again, we are also – and we'll get into it a little bit. We were talking about BKFC that's going to be on the same week, and there's some really killer fights on that one. I mean, like, so if I had to say, is this the most exciting set of fights that's going to happen on this Saturday? I don't know if it is. I mean, I think some of them, the fights are going to be definitely ones. But, again, this – is a diehard card in my mind. People that are junkies, people that are listening to this podcast are going to like this event. But this is the kind of event that if this was at the Apex, people would be bitching because, oh, this is another typical Apex card. But this card now is actually on the road. While it's got some great fights that, you know, are, I think, fights that are kind of working themselves for guys getting into contention, there's nothing really anybody here outside of the main event that's like screaming for title contention.
Right.
Or anybody even near in rock throwing distance.
Main event has some real title implications.
Right.
Not immediate number one contender fight, but I'm intrigued by the main event, right?
Yeah.
Because Beneil Dariush, Armin Sarukin, first of all, I mean, I just have long felt that Armin Sarukin is the real deal, right? I mean,
100%.
He is the real deal. But Beneil Dariush is also the real deal, right?
And how can you not root for that guy?
Nicest human being on the planet. I mean, seriously, the nicest human being on the planet. But did have a really bad outing against Charles Oliveira, right? Did not look good last time out.
Yeah.
And so now you wonder.
Charles has a way of doing that to people.
Charles does have a way of doing that to people. So this to me is an incredible fight because, boy, I looked at the odds. I am shocked, what man. Armand is like -300, but Neil Dariush +230, +240.
Crazy.
Look,
I'm a little surprised at that.
I am too. I am too. I thought it would be much closer to a pick'em than
closer
that.
Closer to a pick'em.
I really did.
Wowzers.
And I'm guessing maybe that just has to do with the fact that Beniel has long been kind of undervalued and underrespected, and obviously he didn't look great last time out. But as you said, a lot of people don't look great against Charles Oliveira. And I'm a little surprised as well because I thought Arman Sarukin was one of those guys that has kind of been under the radar a little bit, maybe hadn't necessarily had the recognition that he deserves. So I didn't think the lines makers, the odds makers would give him that type of value. Armand has that, again, I feel like he's a real deal. From the day, from before he came to the UFC, and then his debut was against Islam Makhachev, and I think maybe at that time people didn't really value Islam as much as I already did. So I thought that was a great performance, especially in the debut. So I've been very, very high on Armand since then. Armand does maybe have that kind of thing that Islam had, right, where he doesn't necessarily have all the names on his record, but it's not really through any fault of his own because a lot of people haven't necessarily wanted to sign up to fight him.
He had a big problem with that for a lot of his career.
I think they're very similar.
Nobody wanted to sign up for him.
Yep, very. I think they had those very similar paths where it was like, hey, man, we got to fight for you. Yeah, that sounds good. It's Armand Sarukin. And be like,
forgot that was my kid's baptism.
What date did you say that was again?
That's it.
I had that thing that I had forgotten about, and so maybe somebody else on another day will talk. This to me is either the big, kind of arrival party of Armand Sarukin where you can't deny how good he is, or Beniel Dariush gets the bounce back to say like, hey man, I know I had a bad outing, but I'm still that guy. So the main event is, I love the main event, but I guess I do get what you're saying about, and that's just the reality, right? Pay-per-views are where the loaded cards are. But I am intrigued. Bobby Green versus Jalen Turner.
It's not the matchup that would have been – like, Bobby Green and Hooker is what – I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I like the Jalen Turner, but, I mean, Bobby Green and Hooker, that's another level.
Yeah.
But that's partially because I think just how much people like Dan Hooker and what they know what Dan's going to bring.
Yep.
I think Jalen's getting there, but Jalen just – the personality difference He hasn't endeared as many people because he's kind of not aloof. He's just kind of he's got his unique sort of like weird sort of like
he's got the tarantula.
He's got his spider things.
He's got the spider things.
You know, like I think people just haven't got him. And in the media day today, he opened up more so as the as it went on. But at the beginning, his answers are very short. He looked like he was struggling with like the weight stuff, and I was like,
I think he always. I think that's part of it. Like,
and I think
and obviously
that's
stepping
the
in
normal
on late
sort
notice
of thing.
Too. But yeah, he's so big for the weight
he's
class.
Huge.
I think his media days. I feel like he's better like on non-fight week. But a lot of people only see fighters on fight week. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because I think the weight cut is very, very hard.
He's unique. I mean, I like his personality. I think as people get used to seeing him more often and he gets a bigger spotlight with like a win over Bobby Green is just going to just shoot him to the stars. I mean, it'll be huge for him. I did lean Green on this one because, I have a hard time just going against Bobby. And when
can't
I do, he just fucking makes me look silly and he does what he does. That fight, those two fights, and then, if you go down the line, obviously you look at Font, you look at Figueiredo, like that's a great fight.
Especially Figueiredo moving up.
Figueiredo's changing
does
divisions.
Does it work at bantamweight? I don't know. Does it
know.
Not work at bantamweight?
I did actually pick him, and I was thinking about that. I was like, that was a stupid pick.
But he had bad weight cuts to bantamweight. But again, anytime you move
he's
up
so
a weight
powerful.
Class.
Powerful.
He's so powerful.
And that's it. Rob loves his boxing. He loves his striking. He's going to want to stand and bang. And Davidson's like, yes, please.
Yep.
Thank you. Like, can we just stand and bang? And like, if it comes to that, that's Davidson's fight. If he doesn't, then I'll finally say, okay, cool. I can stop like just putting so much into Davidson's strength and so much in his thing. Like, it's one thing. Yes, he was normally like a smaller guy and fighting like Moreno, but those Moreno fights were just incredible. It was so fun. So maybe the size difference is going to be a big thing because Rob is a big dude. But, man, Davidson, he's
powerful, aggressive.
I guarantee he's been fighting, training against guys Rob's Font's size or bigger his whole career. So it's not going to be this big, crazy difference.
Nope.
And I think if Rob just wants to make it a fighting, if he has great boxing, then I think it could work in his favor because Davidson, he's just a slobber knocker, man. He just wants to throw big hands, but would you say he's a technical guy? And I wouldn't say he's a technical striker. I say he's a good striker. He's a powerful striker, But when you get like these guys like Font and some of these
Font's
guys,
so
the guy, like legit
boxing,
oh, it's so good. So,
yeah.
Like if he makes it a boxing match, then yeah, I mean.
Oh, if Font can just keep him at the end of the jab, keep him away, you know what I mean, and use good footwork to stay out of the way of those rushes, then it's going to be a long night for Devin. So there again, I like because I don't know what I'm going to see there. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what I like in fights. When I look at a fight and I'm like, I'm pretty damn sure I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Now, again, it's MMA and anything can happen, but that's when it's less exciting, right? Because you're like, well, yeah, that played out exactly like I thought it would. When you look through your head and you're like, man, I can see this, I can see that.
Yeah.
That's when I get anticipation, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. Sean Brady, Kelvin Gastelum. Sean Brady was undefeated, didn't look great last time out. Now he needs a rebound. You know, there was some illness and stuff that he doesn't like to talk about, but it was. Then you got Kelvin Gastelum, who's going back down to 70, where I always thought he should be, to be honest. From the time he went to middleweight, I was like, man, 70 should be the right place for him. But we know that the weight cut was hard for him. So is he going to look good at 70, or was this a mistake this late in his career? A lot of questions there. You know what I mean? So those top four right now, top four fights, man, you talk about storyline and implications and future paths. It's all there for me. So I like those. Now, I will get with you on the rest of it. I guess now you get down to
– then it's just favorites.
Then it's just
like
fun.
Guys that mean something to you. I am interested to see, because if Brady and that Gastelum gets down to some grappling, like if people don't realize, Brady is a – his grappling is just sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's ridiculous. And I feel like that's his – I mean, he's got good hands, but I think that's his best avenue is actually get a hold of Gastelum and work that crazy grappling. But, yeah, then you go down. I mean, like, who doesn't love Puna? I mean, who doesn't love Guida?
Come on, man.
I mean,
love
like,
those guys. Misha Tate is on there against
Tate's
Julia Avila,
there.
Which those are ranked opponents. I know that, you know, the bantamweight division, I know it's not just rife with top contenders. It's like it's fighters that have been there for a long time. But it is still Misha Tate.
Still
who,
Misha Tate.
Everybody loves
Julia.
Misha Tate.
Yeah.
And then you get down. I mean, Joe Selecki, Jakar Close could be a lot of fun. Steve Garcia, Melchizedek Costa could be a lot of fun. So there's some fights I think should be fun. But again, those are kind of, you know, just fights that are happening, right? You know what I mean? Nobody's going to break into the rankings with those performances or announce themselves as contenders. But I think it's not a bad
it's a good card. It's a good card. I mean,
outside
of those top fights, this is like what fight nights were supposed to be like. Reintroduce you to people that are working their way up, but people trying to get towards contention, but not really yet there.
That's it.
You know, sort of deal.
Now, you're looking at it. You also have BKFC the same night. Did you?
Yeah, it's my phone on the other. You keep talking. I'll go shut that alarm
I'm
off.
I'm like, do we have a smoke alarm going on here? Well, I was like, is the Casa de Cuevas, is the West Wing on fire over there? Can the staff handle that or? What can I ask what you had an alarm set for at – I'll just say it. I mean, it's 4 p.m. Pacific here in Las Vegas. What – did you have an alarm set for 4 p.m.? Was there an afternoon nap plan that didn't happen? Or what was the 4 p.m. alarm set for?
I can't remember. I probably said it. I have no idea. I have no idea. That's why I was surprised it went off. This is the old phone, so it's probably something I must
have. How many phones do you have?
This is I just use for gaming.
Oh.
This is the old
gaming
phone. Yeah.
That's how you know you're balling when you got like one phone over this. Just
well,
for
no,
gaming.
I mean, it's like because if I try to trade it in, they want to give me like $5 for it. So
true.
I'm like, why
that
am I going to trade it in? I was like, and I'm not just going to throw it away. So
it is,
I just play games on it, and it's connected to the Wi-Fi. It doesn't even have there's no service. It's just Wi-Fi, so I just game on it.
That's funny. I did help my mom upgrade her phone recently, and I think the trade-in value of her old iPhone, which I want to say, I can't remember. It wasn't like an old iPhone, but it was kind of old. But, yeah, I think their trade-in value was like $35 or something. I'm like, what's the
– Even if you're getting $35 is better than like a lot of old Androids. Like these, they don't – depending on like what brand. If it's not like one of the major brands like Samsung, and even then if it's not like one of the newest models – they don't give you shit for it.
That's
it's like, why give it? At that point, I could gift it to somebody that's like, I don't have a phone, but here, have this old ass phone.
This phone, yeah.
You know?
Instead of the $5.
So, yeah, I use it for gaming. So I probably set an alarm to remind me to go into the game and do something.
Oh, my God.
You know, game world's real, man. I got my peoples that are trying to, you know, make sure we're
I'm not going to make funny. I'm not going to make funny for that.
I've been playing this one game for like 5 years.
Oh, that's the one where you've like made friends around the world.
Oh yeah,
and
all
stuff?
Around the world. Just while we were texting, some guy, one of the guys from like Russia, hit me up. He's like, "Can you move one of your farms into the?"
I think we may have talked about that once or twice on the show, but you were like, I know we've had conversations off air where you're like people have spent like thousands and thousands of
Dude,
dollars.
hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's ridiculous. The game is it's one of those like what they call pay to play. Like they like get you hooked. You start playing, and then it's like they put you up against other people. And then you want to have the best stuff. So people invested money, and you reach the max limits. But then the game changes, and it says, "Oh hey, no, now there's gonna be a new city level," and then people just keep throwing money. So I was like, "Bro, stop!" But but it's like it's people I've been playing this game with for like 5 years, so we like just chat and just do whatever and play the game or whatever and compete against other people.
Oh, respect.
But yeah, it's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. That's probably what I had to learn, but now I can't remember why I said it. So now there's worlds. My gamers are dying without me.
Protect your people, bro. Protect your people.
Yeah.
Your fortifications.
That's
are
why
being...
I'm still single.
Excuse me. This is a really fun date, but I need to step outside.
This conversation was great, but right now there's an elite war against this other server that my peoples is waiting for me.
I'm being invaded. On my
Oh yeah, it's ruined my sleep patterns.
No, it hasn't.
It has.
Oh my god.
It's a problem.
So the card in Austin's good. It's definitely worth your time. And it's an early card, too, so it's not late. But I will say the BKSC 56 card is pretty damn strong as well. This is one of the most stacked lineups they've ever put together in BKSC. It is a pay-per-view this time. So they always try to keep this thing of value. You can do an annual. I think you just said you signed up for the annual for like $50.
$50.
Yeah, and I think I did. I signed up through Fight Plus, which includes BKFC, and it's like $60 a year, but any of the other stuff that they have on Fight TV. So, I mean, that's pretty cheap when you
think
about it.
It is, especially, because even the monthly went up. I swear at one point it used to be $5.99.
It used to be $4.99.
$4.99 at one
$4.99.
Point.
I think now it's $7.99, which still isn't bad.
Yeah.
And I heard,
so it's went up a couple of little
I heard
times
in 2024, like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say. Tentatively, they're planning on a lot more events, so yeah. It's worth it. But every now and then they do pay-per-view.
Like, you're stacking like these cards. Like these cards become fun. Like early on, I was like, man, like it was so cheap, but you got it because it was like, well, there'll be a good match every once in a while and something different.
Now this week you got Eddie Alvarez versus Mike Perry, which come on, that's King of Violence title is what that, I mean. They got a belt. they're fighting. It's like the BMF title, or whatever. It's the King of Violence.
I like the version of Mike Perry that we're seeing now.
Oh, I love Mike Perry.
Because he's still absolutely batshit crazy, but he's like funnier and like humbler and maybe not polite.
Proud
of
his family, man. Yeah. He's posting about like this is what it's all about.
I love this Mike Perry, man.
There's
I love
not a
this
person.
Al-
there was not a person alive that wasn't worried about Mike Perry when he got with this girl,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh!
But they look like they're having a great family, man, and they got kids, and that's awesome, right? Yeah. I mean, everybody was
whatever
worried.
Settled. He just had to settle down. The dude was just he's a bit out there. So I'm glad he settled down.
I love Mike
I like
Perry.
This version that we're seeing.
And how do you not love Eddie Alvarez, dude? Yeah. Just the quintessential 100%. Scrapper. I mean, the King of Violence is great, and they're actually fighting for a King of Violence belt, which is awesome.
When he went over there, first when he went to one, and then you started seeing how some things went, and you're like, man, is this how we're going to finish seeing his career?
Yep.
And then he goes to BKFC, and it's just like, oh, okay, there's Eddie. There he is again, still doing his thing,
still
man.
Doing his
still
thing,
doing
man.
His thing. And I'm sure these guys are getting mad money. I mean, so it popped up on one of the things earlier. Granted, this was PVZ, Page V and Zamp, but I remember – it was like one of the things that an old clip on Junkie popped up, and it was talking about how she made 10 times the money of her career in the UFC in her first debut or whatever. It's
right.
Like the money these guys are making.
It's insane.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
I mean, how can you not be happy for them? I mean, good for them. I mean, it's an absolute crazy sport, but I mean, at least this is a sport. Power slap is not a sport in
right.
my mind. Power slap is just a tough man competition, you know, endurance. Taking a slap, whatever. There's real fighting. This is sport. This shit is crazy.
You know, that's
an
interesting way to put it. Because, like, I how my position on power slap is that while I think it's dumb, I don't think it shouldn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Where people are like,
that's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
It is what it is.
So
I just don't see that sport. I mean, well,
I think that's a great explanation for it. Because the thing that I heard people say is that, well, there's no defense, and then you can get into
that,
the well, you can, you know,
because I was arguing
jaw,
with somebody about that about whether. Whether it was really combat, whether you could call it a combat sport. So maybe not sport, not saying it's not a sport is not the right thing. But maybe, but in my head, I had an issue with the combat sport because I think if it's combat sport, there should be somebody should be able to defend themselves and should be able to kind of move
right
and show the skill instead of just what I was calling like a tough man competition.
It is like a tough man competition.
Just
whereas
stand
this
there
is
and
actual,
take it.
Some skill because you can avoid. You have to be careful not to break your hands. It is 2-minute rounds, so it's you know it moves faster. Everybody that we talked to says A, the training is better because you don't have to train grappling, so your knees, your back, all that stuff, man, it's way
sense.
Better.
Especially as you get older.
And look, I'm just gonna say it now, with Bellator essentially, I don't want to say going away because it's not going away. It's sticking around, but it's not going to stick around forever. We know that. Eventually, it doesn't make sense to operate two separate brands. It just financially doesn't. That's one less suitor out there for free agents, right? And one championship, it's mainly submission grappling and Muay Thai and kickboxing, right? Which I love. But if you're an MMA fighter, they're not doing many MMA fights.
A lot of people are wondering about their financials.
And there are people, you know, we've seen the reports out there. That, you know, obviously Mike Kogan came out and slammed this week, said it's going out. We've seen some reports. But I will say this appears to be another viable option for free agency. You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
Hopefully, you know.
PFL can't take that whole roster. I mean, they're going to pick through the roster. They're going to pick who they want. They're going to get the cream of the crop. They're going to use the guys that they want
and
the gals.
They only need 10 fighters per division per year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? It's not a lot. Now, I know.
Wow, when you put it in that number like that, that's wow.
Now, granted, this year they got 8 Bellator events, but will it be the same?
I mean,
after
there could still
year?
Be one-offs. They could still have all
still
kinds
one-offs.
Of one-offs and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of as for like the tournament and the playoffs,
I think that's gonna be interesting to figure out what
crazy.
PFL does because you cannot do. I mean, we just saw Olivier Aubin-Mercier confirm his retirement, right?
For at least a year,
and he did do two seasons, and everybody's done, whether it be Kayla. Whether it be Olivier, whoever, they all say how hard it is to do back-to-back seasons because, like, just the schedule's insane. You wonder, like, the PFL, I think, has to figure out a way where, like, maybe you take, like, once you've won a season, then maybe you have the option to do one-offs if you want, right? You know what I mean? Like,
or
I don't
just grandfather them into the playoffs. Skip
the
whole
regular
preseason,
and they
like,
get to come in.
Just
right?
Take one slot. Like, if you have to get
defending
the champion,
champs
defending
get to
champ.
Automatically get come in. That's not bad.
Save them. How many fights is that? 4 fights to save them?
Well, it'd save them 2. So they'd only have 2? To fight twice instead of 4.
Well, that's better.
It's better. And then you got the guys.
And then
that,
what? You're going to say they don't deserve it?
Yeah, if they're defending champs, maybe they just get a bye into the playoffs automatically. Maybe they get like the number 2 seed. Like they don't get the 1 seed because they didn't, but maybe they get the 2 seed or something.
I was trying to look because I remember, what was it? Aubin-Mercier, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 8 fights in like a year and a half. That's crazy.
It's a lot.
That's crazy. And so you saw it on his face. I mean, like, that's not – that's
he
just the fights.
Yeah. And he's,
I mean, you look at the training, look at the time
away
from their
family.
By the
way, he won them all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't even lose along the way. You know what I mean?
That's so crazy.
It's exhausting. And you were starting to touch on it. I talked over there. But you're right, it's not just the physical wear and tear. Like, that was the thing he mentioned more than his body was the fact that I haven't seen my friends or my family because I can't give them any time whatsoever because I have to be dedicated to
this. I guarantee that's half of what that emotion on his face was when you saw it. It wasn't the fact that I'm stepping away from this right now. It's the fact of, you know – it's the decision what led him to that point, the time away. You can't get that time back. I mean, like, I'm sure what he's doing is enabling the family to provide for itself better, and they're
absolutely.
Having better memories and other stuff, but you can't get that time back. I mean, you've seen that. You were on the road for half of, you know, Eli's life, you know. You can't get that
you
time back.
You don't get it back, man.
So once you start valuing that and you start seeing that, it's like, wow, you know, it's more important than ever. So when I looked at his face, I didn't see a guy that was, like, getting emotional because he thought this was sort of the end. I mean, granted, that was maybe into it. I think it was a guy that, I'm so tired, I'm weary, I need a break. I've missed out on a year and a half of my family's life.
Because I interviewed him a couple times. I did a couple events along the way, and I hosted some media calls. And so I talked to Olivier a few times this year, and that was the thing he mentioned over and over. It wasn't even the physical wear and tear. It was just like, dude, I feel like a jackass. Like, I'm not a friend to my friends. I'm not family to my family because I'm like – can't do it. I got to, you know, got to train, recover, fight. You know, it's nonstop.
Because obviously he could still do it. I mean, a lot of people said, like, oh, the fight wasn't what they wanted. It's like, bro, the guy was even – the fact that he was able to compete after all that and still didn't do it and still was able to be dominating in his own fashion. Was it everything that you wanted? No. But, dude, like, give him credit. So, yeah, I mean –
these are things the PFL is going to have to figure out. Like, again, look, I've said it from the beginning. I'll keep saying it. I love this acquisition of Bellator. It is not an automatic home run. There is still a lot to be executed and a lot of key decisions to be made and key operational things to do. But I like the rosters coming together. I think it makes a more competitive product, you know?
crazy when you put that 10 number out there. That's just
it's not a lot.
It's not a lot not at all. A lot. And it's not like it can have like nonstop one-offs because look, they're humoring some amateur fights here and there, and they're doing the other stuff.
You can't go away from your concept because your concept is what makes you different. Like it is your entire format. And again, the real value to me with PFL is all these international leagues. If they get all these international leagues up and running the way they say they are, and they're able to deliver content in prime time, and they're able to carve out a market share there. Oh, and they're able to sign broadcast deals, and they're and their own sponsors, and all these are coming together to form the Champions League. I mean, that's where their real value is. You know what I mean? Like, to try to make an inroads in the United States is going to be a challenge, but we can really kind of carve out some space in these international markets. I think that's going to be big. So.
It's crazy.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. But yeah, this BKFC event. So we said Eddie Alvarez versus Mike Perry. Ben Rothwell versus
fun
Todd
fight.
Duffy,
that's
by the way.
That's going to be a fun fight, too.
That ain't lasting very long.
Yeah,
there's
I know,
no
that's
way
that's
going to
be a long. Fun fight.
And it was funny because I was talking to David Feldman this week about this event. And I was thinking about Todd Duffy because it's actually Ben Rothwell who, once he switched over to BKFC, and he's one of a couple of them, but he was one that he's like, John, I just. He's like, my training is so much – he's saying I'm so much healthier now. He's like, 'cause I don't have to do the grappling rounds. And, boy, it was funny because it was Ben that told me that. But then I started thinking about Todd Duffy, right? This juggernaut of human being that has just had this nonstop barrage of injury issues. And we wonder if maybe this is a place for him to fit in. You know, we'll find out. So we'll find out. Jimmy Rivera versus Jeremy Stephens. I mean, that should be a lot of fun there. Beck Rawlings and Christine Fajeda are running it back. So that should be fun.
Somebody's going to get bloody in that one.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is going to be a scrap. Kai Stewart and Howard Davis should be fun. Arnold Adams versus Mick Terrell. So, I mean, this card goes down. So it is a pay-per-view. So this is not one that you can sign up for free. But if you do have the yearly subscription, whether it be through BKFC or whether it be through Fight TV, the pay-per-view price goes down to, I believe, $29.99, if I remember right. So I think it's $49.99 if you buy it standalone. If you have a subscription to either one of those, it's $29.99. So, honestly, it's going to be fun. This might be a two-screen type thing. I don't know. This is one, if you haven't been watching the BKFC product, I like it. And I think there's enough names on here that this might be one of the ones you think about checking out.
Yeah. And I will tell you, we are streaming the prelims on the Junkie YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they reached out and they were like, hey, do you guys want to stream our prelims? I was like, I'd rather stream your whole event. But, yeah, we'll take the prelims. So, yeah, we'll have those three fights on Junkie's YouTube.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. So there you go. There's a fun place to watch it. If you don't want to sign up for the app or anything like that, you can
Well, at least for the prelims.
At least for the prelims. Check it out there and maybe just decide at that point what you like. So
yeah,
lot to watch this weekend. I think it's going to be good. I will be watching it. I will be watching it from Bullhead City, Arizona, actually. My kid qualified. His team qualified for a little regional playoff soccer tournament. So we're going to be out there this weekend. Yeah. So. I will be taking in there, but of course
Good
I will bring
him.
My gear with me, and we'll put together an NF episode. I'll probably have to either kick my family out of the room or go find a place because I'm sure they don't want to hear me ramble, and I know my voice is a little bit loud if you're trying
to watch
TV.
I saw Eli doing his opening for the NF.
Did you see that?
I thought that was good. He did a pretty good job.
That was funny. He picked up the microphone in D.C. My wife recorded a little clip of him doing the opening. So
yeah, it was good.
Yeah, when I'm recording at home, no matter what part of the house they are in, they're able to hear me. And they
do you shut the door too?
Yeah. And they still are able to hear me.
Yeah, so. It happens. It happens.
All right, listen.
Call it the Morgan effect.
That's it. A lot to watch this weekend. I think it's good. So I think both those cards, BKFC and the UFC, are both good cards. I think they're both worth your attention. One Championship has a Friday night fight, as they do every week. They'll be back to the Saturday night. I believe the first week of December is when their next Amazon card is. So anyway, worth watching all that. Worth watching to see what happens with Bellator and PFL. I know there's going to be some announcements. Like I said, they were having meetings this week. So I would expect some announcements starting to come soon, and we will certainly have it all covered for you. And then, like I said, next week I'll be in Brazil, and then a lot of CFSC stuff the rest of the year. But that doesn't mean we'll miss. We'll find a way to make it happen.
You know how we do.
We always do 453 consecutive weeks.
Number just gets bigger and bigger.
Occasionally a day late or so if travel
but
happens.
It's still in the week.
But it still
gets
done.
It's still in that seven-day week.
It still gets done.
It's funny because I remember at one point I looked back. There were some years back, there was one that was like, I think, right on the border of whether it was going to be in that week or something. I mean, there's a couple times.
But we made it.
We made it.
453 consecutive weeks. Appreciate the support. Obviously, appreciate everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Certainly, that's the VIPs of the Roadshow family. But we appreciate anybody that takes the time to check us out, to share us, to tell people about, to rate us and review us if you can. We appreciate all that. But more than anything, we just want to say thanks for listening.